beloved, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's also good to be back. Amen.
Amen.
I'll also share a bit toward the end how we enjoyed ourselves in the holiday. But it was not just a holiday, it was also time with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But let's start with the business of the day. Start sharing the word because we are here for the word. We are here to worship God. We are here to exalt His name. Amen.
Amen.
Can I just, let me just do this introduction. Thing about colonizers and colonies and all that. Remember the thing about decolonizing our education, decolonizing this. And I just want to start there because this is very significant, especially in the kingdom of God, having an influence over various colonies. Amen. So the one time I went to Reunion, and when we were there, we were told they speak French. Their currency was euro. So in other words, they lived like French people. Why? Because they were colonized by French. So, I want us to look at this and think about the kingdom of God here on the earth, the influence that the kingdom of God can have. Where you would find that we actually look like those of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
We look like those of heaven and we speak like those in heaven. We behave like those in heaven. Our provision and our currency, our economy, is heavenly bound. Amen?
Amen?
So with that in mind, can I just start by asking a question? Any of you here who are locals, maybe if you can stand up, I just want to see if we are influencing the place here or we don't have enough influence. Anybody who is local within 10-kilometer radius from here, can you just stand up? Just stand up. We want to know if our influence is enough. Guys, do you think this is enough?
No.
Do you think we have colonized this place?
No.
Eh? Remain standing. Remain standing because this is a challenge. It looks like invaders are more than the locals. So they still work to do. Amen? Yeah, because if we want Jesus, the Savior, if we want Jesus to infiltrate this place, more of people in this place should behave like Jesus.
Amen.
They should have the influence of Jesus. You may sit down. Can we go to the book of Joshua chapter 13 from verse 1 to verse 6 in the NLT, Mr. MJ? Can we all say Kales River for Jesus? Here's the river for Jesus. Sorry. You know, you can see we were colonizing another place. And there was a time we colonized Atlantis. There was a time we colonized Milnerton. And Jesus, the fragrance of Jesus has got to be felt everywhere we go.
Amen.
You know, we say, Jesus said, when you pray, you must say, our Father who art in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Where? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can't get any better colonization than that. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Which means, we want heaven to influence wherever we go. Even in my own life, even in my affairs of life, may the kingdom of God be seen. Amen?
Amen.
May I not be molded by what this world does, but may I represent heaven here on the earth.
Amen.
And when people want to hear from God, may they approach us as ambassadors of the kingdom. May they know that if we go to that one will point us to Jesus. Now, our God is a territorial God. Actually, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So in essence, every part of the earth was supposed to belong to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
But there are many places that the enemy has annexed. Many places, some places you will even hear, this is a no-go zone area. It's owned by certain people. But shouldn't the kingdom of God infiltrate everywhere? So go with me to that Joshua chapter 13, 1 to 6, and I will share with you what I need to share. Because this is not only territories in terms of lands, like the place where we are, but even in your own life. So read for us, Mr. MJ, NLT, Joshua 13, 1 to 6.
When Joshua was an old man, the Lord said to him, "You are growing old, and much land remains to be conquered."
Can we all say, "Much land remains to be conquered"?
Much land remains to be conquered.
That's what I want us to talk about today. Much land remains to be conquered. Amen.
Amen.
So when you see as if things are not going well, that is not right there, that is not right there, even in your own life, much land remains to be conquered. And when we started here, we said, Jehovah is your name, mighty warrior, great in battle. So if much land remains to be conquered, who should conquer that land? Ambassadors.
Amen.
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 Much land remains to be conquered. Continue.
This is the territory that remains.
Okay. Even in your own life, can you identify some territories that you will say, this still needs to be conquered? This still needs to be conquered. Some of you have got dreams and visions. That degree still needs to be conquered. That job still needs to be conquered. This kind of prosperity needs to be conquered. Peace in my family still needs to be conquered.
Amen.
Some of our loved ones whom we love so dearly do not know Jesus as yet. They still need to be conquered.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I want you to think of this, because when God here was talking to Joshua, he is teaching us to have that mentality of conquering territories.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You know that sometimes even in your own life as a Christian, you might realize there are areas where you have conquered. Let's say, maybe you've studied a lot, you've taken a lot of time dwelling in the Word of God about healing, and you feel, in healing, I think I've conquered that one. But I still have fear. When we are driving, I'm afraid of accidents. Where I stay, I'm afraid of wizards and witches and all those. It means that land also still needs to be conquered. Amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, how many territories still needs to be conquered? So just enlist some, Mr. MJ, for us. This is what Joshua was supposed to still conquer.
This is the territory that remains. All the regions of the Philistines and the Geshurites, and the larger territory of the Canaanites, extending from the streams of Sheol on the border of Egypt, northward to the boundary of Ekron. It includes the territory of the five Philistine rulers of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, Ekron, and the land of Evites.
Okay, so can you see that God was mentioning the territories that still needed to be conquered? So even for you, child of God, I want you to think about where I'm living now. Have I taken hold of everything that God has bestowed for me? Or is some of the territory still in the hands of the enemy? Continue.
The land of Evites in the south also remains to be conquered.
Okay. In the south also there's a land still to be conquered. Even for us here. As Jesus the Savior Church, you look around, you look to the east, to the west, to the north and south, and when you just see here and you see people just walking around and you see that they are like sheep without a shepherd, then you say, this land still needs to be conquered. for Jesus.
Yeah.
Continue.
In the north, the following areas has not yet been conquered.
Okay, so you can see that God was looking around and say, okay, that side, there's still this area that still needs to be conquered. There, that still needs to be conquered. But Joshua, you are growing old. Mm. Which means even in our own life, sometimes we do not focus enough and we are not goal-orientated. We live as if we don't have, we are not people who are goal-orientated. And then you will realize that you actually depart this earth without fulfilling all that God wanted you to fulfill. Continue.
All the land of the Canaanites, including Mira, which belongs to the Sidonians, stretching northward to Aphek on the border of the Amorites, the land of Gebalites, and all of the Lebanon mountain area to the east, from Baal Gad below Mount Hermon to Lebo Hamath, and all the hill country from Lebanon to Mizrapoth Maim, including all the land of the Sidonians.
Okay. Now I want you to look at how God, when there are lands that He has bestowed for us, He doesn't leave us alone to conquer those lands.
I myself will drive these people out of the land ahead of the Israelites. Mm. So be sure to give this land to Israel as a special possession, just as I have commanded you.
Amen.
Amen.
He says, be sure to give this land to Israel just as I've commanded you. So I'm asking you, in your own life, would you say you have conquered every territory? There's still much land to be conquered. Tell your neighbor, much land still needs to be conquered. So I believe that at the end of this service today, you will start knowing how to conquer some of those lands. And even as a church, if we say, I asked people to stand up who are locals here, you can see there's still much to do. Amen. In our own lives, if you try to enlist things, the goals and the ambitions that you have, much land still needs to be conquered. But God says, I will go ahead of you because I'm the one who have given you those lands. And go with me to the book of Joshua chapter 1 verse 3. Because when we are talking about the land that still need to be conquered, I want us to look at it in various ways. One, we might be talking about a land or a territory, a real territory or a real land like what God was talking about here. That's when we will say we want to conquer this place for Jesus. And Mr. Nkabinde and Mr. Netenjeni, I hear that we are looking forward to an outreach soon. That's another colonization strategy. Where Jesus has got to take charge.
Amen.
Amen. And when people have issues, when people don't know where to go, may they run to the house of the Lord. May people start having hope in Jesus. You can see this world, it's without hope. But may the kingdom of God infiltrate so much that when people are hopeless, they can run to Jesus. Now, these things won't just happen automatically because God promised them. Let me repeat. These things will not just happen automatically because God promised them. So let me use the same portion of scripture that we read. God had promised the children of Israel those promised lands, isn't it? And He told Joshua and Moses, this is the land. But He says, Joshua, you are growing old and much land still remains to be conquered. Who was supposed to conquer those lands? Joshua. God would not necessarily say, I'm conquering it and you do nothing. He says, let me teach you how you conquer the land and get your possession. So Joshua 1 verse 3, New King James Version.
Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses.
Okay. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given you as I have promised to Moses. So can I ask you a question? If God has promised us all these precious promises, actually Peter calls them all these great and precious promises. If you don't tread upon them. Do you still possess them? Hear what he told Joshua. He says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread. So it means, even when you come to church, we are teaching you how to tread your promises. We are teaching you how to tread the land of divine health. We are teaching you how to tread the land of prosperity, where you will have surplus on the earth. We are teaching you how to tread the land of peace, even in your families. Amen?
Amen.
And you need to tread each of these lands. It doesn't come automatically. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given you. Now, I want to show you that when, after God created the heavens and the earth, he gave the earth to humanity, but Adam sold it out to the enemy. Amen. So, if the enemy now has been sold and given some of the territories, we have to repossess it. Amen. I want you to think of this carefully. Because you remember in the book of Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted, one of the temptations, the evil one says, he took him to the hill and he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, if you can bow to me, I will give you all these kingdoms because they have been given to me. And Jesus didn't say, you are lying, they were not given to you. He said, I will not bow to you because we must only worship God. But indeed, there are some territories that are in the hands of the enemy. So go with me to the book of Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 20 to 22 NLT. So, if you look at Luke chapter 11, from verse 20 to 22, I want to show you, now starting to show you how we possess the land, how we annex all the territories that the enemy has taken. Like I said, even in your own life, there are things that are not in order yet. I gave a simple example and said, some of our loved ones are still in the hands of the enemy. They are not yet saved. They are not yet born again. Some of the things you find that people, because of maybe what your forefathers have done, you're still in a bad state now and you're keeping on blaming them. Just know that that land is still in the hands of the enemy. You are a soldier of Christ. Take it back.
Amen.
Amen. So look at Luke chapter 11, verse 20 to 22 NLT. Because we are going to teach you to repossess what the enemy has stolen. I think Sunday school, you used to have that song. Going into the enemy's camp, take back all that. You remember that song? Sunday school? Yeah, so Miss Norki, maybe do it for us for the sake of Sunday school. Maybe they will join you as you do it. Because that's what we're going to do. Amen. So, Sunday school, are we going to go into the enemy's camp?
Amen.
Let's all say we are not afraid of the enemy.
We are not afraid of the enemy.
We go into the enemy's camp. And we take back what he stole from us. Do you know that some of you, after you accepted Jesus, you had the passion for the Lord. You loved God with all your heart. Now that passion has been stolen. You are now a lukewarm Christian. Amen. Some of you, you were so generous even in giving. Now, the breakthrough you had in giving has been stolen. Now, all of a sudden, things are not working well and this, that, and this, that. Just know that I need to go to the enemy's camp and take back what the enemy stole. So look at it. Luke chapter 11, verse 20 to 22 NLT.
But if I am casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you.
Okay. Did you see the terminology that Jesus is using? He says, if I'm casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has come among you. So when you talk about a kingdom, you're talking about, you know, the two words, king and dominion. So the kingdom is the place where the king has dominion. So he says, if I'm casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom has come upon among you. So if we cast out demons, if we lay hands on the sick and they recover, if we do anything for the sake of the kingdom, if we preach the gospel and people get saved, then the kingdom of God has come among us.
Amen.
And we want this kingdom to continue to expand. Because of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. So, continue.
For when a strong man is fully armed...
In the NLT. In mine it says, for when a strong man like Satan.
For when a strong man like Satan is fully armed and guards his palace, his possessions are safe.
Okay. I liked in the NLT because it doesn't only just say when a strong man. Other versions just say when a strong man. But I want to understand that when a strong man like Satan is fully armed and guards his palace, his possessions are safe.
Until someone even stronger attacks and overpowers him, strip him of his weapons, and carries off his belongings.
Amen. Amen. Can we all say amen?
Amen?
So it means we are not going to give the devil any peace. We come with the power of the one greater than the one in the world. You know the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So here Jesus says, I'm casting out demons. It means the kingdom of God has come among you. When a strong man like Satan is fully armed and guards his palace, his possessions are safe until we come and disturb the order. Until we come and claim back what he stole. So I want you, child of God, not only to be defensive against the enemy. Sometimes you need to attack. You will see when we talk about the weapons of our warfare later, that some are for defending, but we also have some that are for attacking. Amen? There's also this English saying that the best form of defense is attack. Yeah, you don't always have to wait for the enemy to cause problem for you. Cause problems for him, then he will be on the back foot. Amen? That's what you need to do. So start thinking about those people, those neighbors of yours who do not know Jesus as yet. And start thinking of going to share the gospel with them.
Amen.
Start thinking about those people who are sick or people who are in depression or any types of problems and start praying for them.
Amen.
Start making it difficult for the enemy. Instead of, because if you leave him, then he is only attacking and you are now the one on the back foot. So, here he says, the enemy has his things and he's guarding his things and his possessions. They seem to be safe until someone even stronger attacks, overpowers him, strips him of his weapons and carries off his belongings. Can you tell your neighbor, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? Because even people, you would find that some people usually they are thinking about what people are doing to them. That one wanted to do this, that one wanted to do this. You're spending a lot of time checking what people are doing to you instead of spending a lot of time checking what God is doing to you. For me, what God does to me is more nicer. I can spend time reflecting on the goodness of God.
Amen.
Rather than spending your time and energies reflecting on what the enemy is doing. You end up praising the enemy instead of looking at the good things that God has done for us. So when we go into the enemy's camp, in other words, I'm saying to you, all the promises that God has given us, they are yes and amen, but you need to go in and possess them. You know, even the children of Israel, when they had to possess the promised land, they had to fight and take that land. So even for you, the enemy will try and keep all those things. Take back what he stole.
Amen.
Claim back the peace between you and your relatives.
Amen.
You know that there are some of you who don't speak to your relatives. Ah, that one. Mm-mm. I can forget, but I will. I can forgive, but I will never forget. I don't know which verse is that one. Because now you're starting to make your own verses. While God, you know how God forgives. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he separated us from our sins. And the Bible even says, he has thrown our iniquities into the sea of his forgetfulness. So it means when God deals with me, he does not keep on remembering what I've done. So why do you want to keep a record of wrongs of what people have done to you? Okay? So go with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 45. From verse 1 to verse 6. Because we are starting to advance now. We want to teach you to go into the enemy's camp, knowing that the Lord goes before you and level all the mountains. Don't be defensive, be offensive. Go ahead and take back what the enemy stole. Amen. Some of you, the enemy is robbing you of your prosperity, financial prosperity. You are so much deep in debt that you are confused. You don't know what to do. So you need to say, I want to take back what the enemy has stolen from me. I'm supposed to, my economy, my economic system is that of the heavenly places. You remember Philippians 4:19, when Paul says to the Philippians, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So the Philippians were so much of givers that he said, if you guys are in partnership with God, there is no way that you should operate under the system, the economic system of this world. Partner with God, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So Isaiah 45, from verse 1 to verse 6, Message translation.
God's message to his anointed, to Cyrus, whom he took by the hand to give the task of taming the nations.
Okay, by the way, just to give you an illustration. So this Cyrus was not of the children of God. He was not an Israelite. I think he was a Persian. You know, there was Darius the Mede. Remember the story in Daniel with all those different kingdoms. So Cyrus was one of the world rulers at that time. I think he was a Persian. But God used him because God needs instruments here on the earth and he wants to use you too. So tell your neighbor, God used Cyrus even though he was not a child of God. You are a child of God. God wants to use you. Amen. And I'm available. I'm available. Lord, send me.
Lord, send me.
Amen. So read.
To Cyrus, whom he took by the hand to give the task of taming the nations, of terrifying their kings, he gave him free rein, no restrictions. I'll go ahead of you.
Okay, I want you to look at what God said to Cyrus and take that for yourself. That even the tasks ahead of you, they might look difficult. They might look impossible. Some of you, you've got tasks that look unsurmountable. Isn't it? You look at your own strength and you see, I can't overcome this. This is just too much for me. Now God wants to go ahead of you and clear the way for you. God wants to make a way for you where there seems to be no way. He's a way maker. Continue.
I'll go ahead of you, clearing and paving the road.
I think I also like this thing when God says, I'll go ahead of you. Do you know sometimes we get into trouble because we go ahead of God? Tell your neighbor, if you don't want to get into trouble, don't go ahead of God. Let him go ahead of you and clear all the ways. Amen. Let God go ahead of me. He is my shield and he's my rear guard. So he's ahead of me, he's behind me, he's all around me.
I'll break down bronze city gates, smash padlocks, kick down barred entrances. I'll lead you to buried treasures.
He also wants to lead us to some buried treasures. You know the enemy, he's hiding some of the treasures. You know, some of you are givers. You've been giving a lot. Even your parents were givers, and they didn't know how to harvest. So there's a lot of harvest that's waiting for you. And may the Lord lead you to those buried treasures, those hidden treasures, for the sake of his kingdom.
I'll lead you to buried treasures, sacred caches of valuables, confirmations that it is, in fact, I, God, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name.
I love this God who associates with me so closely, like a personal friend. When other people call God the man upstairs, or they call him like another being somewhere, I call him my Father. I can say the Lord Jesus dwells in me. Amen. I'm a child of God. I am blessed and highly favored. I have connection with God. So it means when I go through life, I do not go through life alone. I have the Jesus factor. Tell your neighbor, I have the Jesus factor in my life. It doesn't matter how things can be difficult, how much difficult they can be. If I've got Jesus, God says he can go ahead of me and level all the mountains. He goes ahead of me and clear all the obstacles. And even some of the obstacles that the enemy has put, he gives me victory. And sometimes I use those obstacles as stepping stones. Amen. Continue.
It is because of my dear servant Jacob, Israel my chosen, that I have singled you out, called you by name, and given you this privileged work.
It's a privileged work. Tell your neighbor, you are privileged.
We are privileged.
You see, it's not many people whom God can partner with. God needs you for this privileged work. God needs you to spread the gospel here in our vicinities. God needs you to be an ambassador at your workplace. God needs you in your home where other people do not know Jesus. Can they see Jesus in you for this privileged work?
And you don't even know me.
That's Cyrus. He says, Cyrus, you don't even know me, but look at how I want to use you.
I am God, the only God there is. Beside me, there are no real gods.
So people who worship other gods, he's just telling them that I am God, the only God there is. Beside me, there are no real gods. There may be gods, but they are not real. I remember the other time, which of those prophets? He was talking about, you say it's a god. But he was talking about they even had gods like a wooden thing, and they put it there. He said, if you leave that god there, you will find that god there all the time. He doesn't move. That God can't even speak. Now, how do you think such a God can help you? Because that God looks powerless than you, isn't it? Yeah. Continue.
I am the one who armed you for this work.
Amen.
Though you don't even know me.
Mm.
So that everyone from east to west will know that I have no God rivals.
Mm.
I am God.
Amen.
The only one, the only God there is.
Amen. He is the only God. And when he says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, he wants to take all these territories for his kingdom. Before the coming of the Lord, let the gospel be preached to all nations. So that all people will not say, no, nobody will ever say, I did not hear about Jesus. So even our neighbors, our relatives around here, let's share Jesus with them. And I think the date, you will tell us, Mr. Nkabinda, the date when we will have an open air. We walk around here and infiltrate the place here for Jesus. Amen. We've got something to share. We've got, you know, the politicians usually you would find maybe there's a political rally and they're moving around and that because they want to share with you their manifesto. So we also have the manifesto of our kingdom. Amen. Amen. And we want people to be delivered, people to be set free. So, as because like I said, I want to show you how we take back what the enemy stole. And also how to take possession of all the lands that are still in the hands of the enemy. So let me give you this example. If there is a mountain ahead of you. Okay, so let's take the Israelites, they had the Egyptians behind them, mountains on the side, and in front of them was the Red Sea. So it seemed like there was no way until God made a way, isn't it? But now I want to ask you a question. Let's take it that there is a mountain ahead of you. And you want to go to the other side. Can you think of four ways in which you can go to the other side? When there is a mountain ahead of you. Before I share some with you. Okay? So, a mountain ahead of you, but you want to go to the other side. So your promises are on the other side, but there's this mountain that's blocking you. You can go over it if you can, isn't it? And you still go to the other side. You can go around it if you can and still go to the other side. And now, there are two other ways left. There are two other ways left for you to go to the other side. Okay. You can take the Jesus route of saying, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. So the mountain should move and you go your way. That's one way. But if the mountain doesn't move, think of tunnels. If the mountain doesn't move, you go through it. Amen. In other words, you say, I want to go to the other side, but there is a mountain. And if you look at the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So that word that's translated power in Acts 1 8 is the word dunamis in Greek. That's the word where we get the word dynamite. So you've got a dynamite. When you've got the Spirit of God upon you, you can clear ways. So it means some of the things, it's not always that I've got to go over or around or get it moved. Some of the problems, you will have to go through them. But as long as I go the other side. And the issue with breaking through, is like those of you, who, any of you who have ever used a drill, you're drilling something to the other side, you're drilling. You don't know how far you are to the breakthrough. Until you hear, then you know I've popped through.
Amen.
Amen. So some of you are still drilling. You are still going through that mountain. You're even getting tired. But maybe your breakthrough is just a paper thin away. So don't give up. Amen. Because you say, I've been going through this, I've been going through this, I've been going through this, and things are seems to not be working. Don't give up until you get your breakthrough. Because our God is the master of breakthroughs. You remember when David called him the master of our breakthrough? He said, my God has broken through my enemies like a dam break through the walls of a dam. The water's breaking through. So I'm expecting some breakthroughs. Tell your neighbor, I'm expecting some breakthroughs. And you know why we're going for breakthroughs? It's because you couldn't go around that problem. It's because you couldn't go over it. It's because you couldn't let it move. Now you say, I will get to my destiny even if you are here. You won't stop me. Amen? I'm going for a breakthrough. Some of the people, usually some of you, you get discouraged very easily. And the enemy plays with your mind. He puts an obstacle ahead of you. Now all of a sudden, I thought prayer works and it's not working. And now you quit. I'll give you an example that's in I believe some of you have got the pastor's book, Key to an Extraordinary Life. So I give this example about those of you, or those of us who've got cars. When you come to a red robot, what do? Stop. You stop. Do you make a U-turn? Why? I mean, you don't say, the road is closed because it's a red robot. What do? You actually even relax. I know it's just a matter of time. It will get green. So any of you with a red robot in front of you now as we speak, so it's just a matter of time. Just be patient and say, with my God, we're going the other side. Amen? Amen. And don't ever make a U-turn on a red robot. Wait. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
Amen. It means when it's night, when it's dark, you don't despair and think that, hey, now it's dark, the rest of our lives it will be dark. You know morning is coming.
Amen.
Morning is coming. Tell your neighbor, it might look like it's dark.
But I want to reassure you,
morning and daylight is coming.
Your breakthrough is closer.
Just hang on there.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, I don't quit. I don't give up. I don't give up. Even when you're going through and trying to break through, don't give up until you get your breakthrough. So go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. So I'm going to take an example about how when you are faced with challenges that look bigger than your strength, you've got to always depend on God. You see, the problem with most of the challenges is that sometimes you face a challenge that you can have alternatives. You know, we like this thing of plan B. You're trusting God for something and you say, just in case it doesn't work, you put that on the side, isn't it? We like doing that. Now, can I ask you a question? If you have a child, so Mr. MJ, we're going to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from verse 1 to 4 in the New King James Version, and we'll also do 12 to 23. But I want to ask you a question, those of you who have option B in your faith. Imagine you have a child. Child comes and asks you for school fees. And you say, I'll give you. Okay? You say, I'll give you. And then you hear a child the following day speaking to the neighbors. You hear a child speaking to the neighbors saying, just in case my parents don't give me, just in case my parents don't give me, can you make a plan for my school fees? How will you feel? And do you know that when we are making option B's, God hears? Unlike your parents,
You can try that with your parents and go to neighbors. But God hears. And he wants us to trust in him. Even with things that look... So I was talking about the problem with most of the problems that are not big problems. You've got options. But do you know that there are some problems where there are no options? There are other problems where there are no options. You've got to believe God. There is no other way. So let's look at Jehoshaphat in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from verse 1 to verse 4.
It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "Hey, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea."
Okay, so a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea. So some of you, you will see your challenges, they look bigger than your strength. Some of you don't even want to receive, you know, you get these registered letters and they give you a slip. And now you don't want to go and collect because, this may just be the lawyer's letters, man. So it means you will hear things that will intimidate you. Some of the reports that are coming your way, they are not good reports. But you can't stop the world from giving reports because they are telling you facts. So here, people came to Jehoshaphat and said,
"A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared.
God has not given us the spirit of fear, but do you know that fear sometimes comes? And the other time I told you how fear comes. Just like faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, fear comes by hearing what the enemy intends to do to you. So when they heard about what the enemy, that your enemies are coming against you, fear came. And when fear came, what did he do?
And set himself to seek the Lord.
Amen.
And proclaim.
So the first thing, when I'm attacked, I set myself to seek the Lord. I am trusting God.
And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord.
Okay, so they gathered together to ask help from the Lord. So they knew that these nations, we cannot defeat them. They were three. The Syrians, the Ammonites, and the Moabites. So they were outnumbered. It's like sometimes in your situations, you feel I'm outnumbered here. Okay? So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. So as they were seeking the Lord, let's go to verse 12 to 23. Is Jehoshaphat still praying?
"Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do."
Those words are telling. He says, "Oh, our God." In other words, he looked at his power options and he says, "We have no power against these people. We are outnumbered. We don't even know what to do." When you don't know what to do, what must you do?
"But our eyes are upon you."
Amen. Ask your neighbor, when you don't know what to do, what must you do? So he says, we don't even know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. So I may not know how this debt will be paid, but I'm trusting you. I may not know how my breakthrough will come, but I'm trusting you. I may not know how my husband will get saved, but I'm trusting you. I may not know how my children that seem to be lost and in drugs will come to the Lord, but I'm trusting you. Amen? You say, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. That's what God wants. He wants us to rely on Him and not on our own strength. Continue.
Now, all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord.
Okay, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. So I also want us, I said this year we're going to spend a lot of time in prayer, even in church service sometimes. Even today I'll give you time to pray about some of the things that we're talking about. And then in 2 weeks' time, we'll also have prayer after church like we always do. So we want to pray. We want to spend time in the presence of God. We've got breakthroughs that we need in our lives.
Yeah.
There are victories that needs to be won. There are territories that needs to be conquered. Amen. And we can only do that when we seek the face of God. When we seek God, even with our little ones. It says, now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives and their children, stood before the Lord. Everybody was scared. So even the little ones were there. And do you know that little ones believe God very easy? Children, they trust. They believe very easily. They even believe you, who is a limited person. They think you've got all the power. I'll go and tell my daddy what you did to me. That little one thinks daddy can beat everyone. He doesn't know that daddy is a coward. But to that child, I'll tell my daddy. Yeah. Amen. I told you the other time that children trust so much. When you go with them to shops, Toys R Us, the child wants every toy. Because that child thinks, what's the big deal? Mommy can buy this whole shop. I want this toy. Emma, just choose one. Now the child is surprised. I want all of them. Because the child thinks, mommy has all the money. Mommy can buy everything here. And now the child is surprised when mommy says, hey, wait for month end. Wait, it will be your Christmas. You must choose only one. Children, mommy can tell you that, but you know that God doesn't tell you that. Yeah. Sunday school, you can trust God for anything.
Amen.
You can believe God and your God will do it for you.
Amen.
Because He honors faith. You know, God used Samuel when he was still a small boy. So I'm now talking to Sunday school. Because sometimes mommy and daddy, because of their experiences, they don't trust God as much. So show them how to trust God.
Amen.
Amen. Samuel was a small boy. The mother left him with Eli, the prophet, the priest. And God spoke to Samuel and revealed to Samuel what he was going to do. Samuel in his childhood. We even have one of the kings of Israel. I think it was Josiah. He was 8 years old when he became king. So Sunday school, some of you are over 8 already. God can use you. Sunday school, God can use you.
Amen.
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 Yeah, because sometimes people like saying, Sunday school is the church of tomorrow. I don't know that. Because each church has got Sunday school. So Sunday school is part of today's church. Just like you've got grannies, you've got men and women, you've got youth, you've got Sunday school. In today's church, tomorrow's church will have its own Sunday school. Amen. Sunday school, you love me for that, eh? Yes. Amen. So now here, they were together with their little ones, their wives and their children. Just go, verse 14.
Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said,
okay, so the Spirit of the Lord is coming to speak to them because they were seeking God. Some of us, we are so busy with our own agendas that we cannot hear God speak. Mr. MJ, I like on that prayer thing for this past Friday. Hey, those of you who are not joining in on prayer, I think you've got it on the church group, isn't it? So everybody must see the prayers for Friday. I like that thing where, Mr. MJ, you said that sometimes God wants to speak with you on the other side and he finds the phone engaged. He has a busy sound. You know, sometimes you're trying to phone somebody. Pee, pee, pee. And you've got an urgent thing to talk to this person. But this person is busy with other things. So I liked that. And I realized I will never put God on hold. Because I want to hear from him. Amen. So now here, as they were seeking the face of God, God spoke through his servant. Okay, tell us.
And he said, listen, all of you Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you.
Can we say the Lord still speaks? Tell your neighbor, the Lord still speaks.
The Lord still speaks.
If you haven't been hearing him, tell your neighbor, if you haven't been hearing him, maybe your phone was engaged. You were busy with your own agendas. Let's create time for the Lord. So he spoke.
Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's.
I want God to do that even in our days. Some of the battles, I want God to say, this is not your battle. This is my battle. Just position yourself. Just trust me. Amen. See what I will do. You remember when the Israelites were faced with the Egyptians were chasing them on the sideway mountains. In front it was the Red Sea. And Moses says, the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see them no more forever. Amen. Amen. May some of your Egyptians be completely annihilated before you. Amen. Amen. Continue.
Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. And you'll find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel.
Yeah.
You will not need to fight in this battle.
Oh, so it means some of the battles you are fighting unnecessarily. Tell your neighbor, some of the battles you are fighting unnecessarily. Have you ever realized that if somebody does something wrong, they try to do other wrong things to cover the wrong they did? So you get more deeper into trouble. Because you're trying to save yourself. So he says, you will not need to fight in this battle. What must you do?
Position yourselves.
Okay. Tell your neighbor, position yourself. Tell your neighbor, position yourself for your breakthrough.
Position yourself for a breakthrough.
Position yourself for your miracle.
Position yourself for a miracle.
Amen. So it means my role is to position myself. And as I spend time in his presence, he will make me adjust, make the necessary adjustments. Position yourself.
Stand still.
Amen.
And see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem.
My God is with me. Can we say, my God is with me?
My God is with me.
Okay.
Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you.
Tell your neighbor, the Lord is with me.
The Lord is with you.
You know, when the Lord is with us, we shall not be afraid. It means my mountains and all the obstacles ahead of me, I face them with the Lord. You remember when David was facing Goliath? Goliath comes against David and he looks at him and sees him like a small boy, a young man. And he says, what are you trying to do? Do you think I'm a dog that you come against me with a stick and a sling? And as he approached him, David takes a stone, takes a sling, and he said, you come against me with a spear, a sword, and a javelin. But I come against you in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. The rest is history.
Amen.
Amen. Don't you think some of your Goliaths still need that taste of that stone? Huh? The Goliaths are still there. As much as David has his Goliath, you have your own Goliaths. But you use the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run unto it and they are safe.
Amen.
So when Goliath stands before me, he looks at me and he undermines me. Because he looks at me and think, what can this person do to me? Some of us are even shorter than others. You don't even look like a warrior on the outside. Ah, but inside,
amen,
greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Tell your neighbor, don't be deceived by the looks. The greater one dwells in me.
Amen.
Amen. So if you look at this here, he says, do not be afraid. Do not fear them, for the Lord is with you. Verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Israel bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. You see now, when they heard the news that God is with you, they started worshiping the Lord. Now I want to show you this. The first thing is, he sought the Lord. He did seek God with his people. Okay? That's the first thing you do. You seek God, you seek God's will in a situation. And now a word came to say that the Lord is with you. He will give you victory. Position yourself. So as we are going to pray, I want you to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, even to guide you on some of the things that you were struggling with. Amen. And when you receive a word from God and you have your breakthrough in your spirit, even before you can see it with your physical eyes, start worshiping God. You remember how Hannah, when she was trusting God for Samuel, the man of God says to her, stop being drunk in the house of the Lord. She says, I'm not drunk. I'm just pouring out my heart to the Lord. I need a son. And then the man of God said, go in peace. May the Lord grant you the petition of your heart. The Bible says, Hannah from that day, she went home with a fragrant face. Her face was now shining, as if she already had a child. So that's the kind of faith we need from some of you. So after today's prayer, after you have prayed for some of the things that have been a struggle in your life, may you start having a shining face to show that I've been in the presence of God and God has answered my prayers. So here it says, they started worshiping God and they are doing this before they had their breakthrough. Continue.
Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord.
Okay, so the Kohathites and the Korahites and all that, those guys were the Levites who were mainly involved in music, in worship. So worship team, we need you.
Mm.
That's why we need worshipers who are sensitive to the Spirit of God. We need worshipers that when we say it's time to worship now, it's time to pray. We want you to lead us into the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. We don't want worshipers who here in front you are here to be seen by people. When you are here, you need to know I'm ministering now. I'm leading these people in worship. Hezekiah says to those Levites and the Kohathites and the Korathites, he says, my children, don't be negligent now. The Lord has chosen you to lead his people in worship. Because some of your battles, you don't need to fight over them. You just need to praise God.
Amen.
You might be having a big problem in your own life and you don't know what to do. Just start singing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know
He holds the future, and life is worth a living just because He lives. Life is worth a living because Jesus lives. If it were not for Jesus, I don't know where I would be now. You remember, you are the pillar that holds my life, Master Jesus. So sometimes your neighbors don't know why you're still alive now. What you've gone through, if you were to share with us, other people would think you should have committed suicide long ago. But you're still here. You are a survivor.
Amen.
Amen. You're still here.
Amen.
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 Because He lives. Let's finish that one and then we're going to prepare to land and give you time to pray.
So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem."
Okay.
Believe in the Lord your God.
So as we are going to pray, we are going to lead you in prayer. We're going to lead you in worship. We're going to guide you, and we are going into battle. Amen. We're going to take back what the enemy has stolen. Amen. Yes, some of the land is still in the hands of the enemy. We want to possess that back. But believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper. So God works through His servants also. As much as we are trusting God, God always chooses a man among us, somebody among us that He can use as His Moses, that He can use as a Samuel, that He can use as a Joshua, that He can use. So, as we believe in God, let's also believe in the anointing that God has placed upon our leaders. Amen. Because God has chosen them to guide us, to lead us into our promised land. Now, Jehoshaphat tells them that. Verse 21, and when they had consulted with the people, He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and those who should praise the beauty of His holiness. As they went out, where?
Before the army.
So, it doesn't make sense. You're going to war and you put worshippers in front. What kind of war is that one? It doesn't make sense, isn't it? So, if it were some of you would have said to Jehoshaphat, you've got to be realistic. Because those soldiers are real soldiers. They are going to kill all your worshippers. But if God says it works that way, who are we to argue with God? Okay? So they went before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord." Can we start that song? "For His mercy endureth forever. Praise." So I want the baritone. Baritone, you guys say, "Praise the Lord." And then the ladies, "For His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. For His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. For His mercy endureth forever.
Praise the Lord.
For His mercy endureth forever." Imagine, we are marching to the enemy's camp. Amen. "Praise the Lord." So the enemy knows that even men are there. And after that, he, "For His mercy endureth forever." Then he realizes even the ladies are there. He doesn't have anywhere to hide. Amen. Amen. "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to ask you a question. Were these people talking about their problem? You know, sometimes the way to win is not to talk about your problem and give your problem the glory.
Yeah.
It's to praise the Lord for His mercy endureth. And when you are doing that,
the Lord is working a miracle for you. Look, it says, now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who came against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. What were the Israelites doing? Praise the Lord. And the enemy is fighting. They are confusing themselves. You know, even people that are plotting against you. As you are praising God, they will start fighting among themselves. They will start fighting. They will come against you one way, but they will disperse in seven ways. As you say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise. So it means my focus is on Jesus. I'm praising God, and the walls of Jericho are coming down. Amen. Amen. So let's land with this one. Let me read this one other portion of scripture. The other ones will do them next time because I want us to pray. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 19, New King James Version. This will prepare us to pray. We're landing with this one. We're going to pray together. You have an opportunity to pray for the things that you want to pray for in the presence of God with all the other brethren. But I'll also give you some of the prayer items in line with what we're sharing. Okay? So, listen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We should be strong where? In the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. When we started here, you sang the song. When we were worshiping, Jehovah is your name. Jehovah is your name. And he said, mighty warrior, great in battle, Jehovah is your name. That's the song in Exodus 15 that Miriam sang after they defeated the enemy. And they were dancing, celebrating. So I want you to have that attitude of celebration, knowing that Jehovah is his name. So he says, put on the whole armor of God. So the armor that I have is God's armor. And God cannot be defeated. But that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now you can see that there is the devil. There is an enemy. The reason why sometimes we see things not working out is because you've got an enemy who hates you. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not, but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance. So it means all the things even in my families, all the things even in my workplace, all the things even in our church that are not going well, we're going to claim back our territories. Jehovah is his name, and we take on the full armor of God so that we may be able to withstand against all the wiles of the enemy. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Some of the Christians, unfortunately, they are fighting against people. You're speaking a lot about those that are gossiping about you. You know that if you gossip about me, it makes no difference in my life. What affects me is what I say. The word of God never says you will have what people say about you. It says you shall have whatsoever you say. So I rather speak and plot my own destiny. Like Jabez. His mother called him Pain. That name Jabez, sorrow maker, Pain. Because she said, because I bore him in pain. But when he grew up, he said, Lord, if you, oh Lord, if you can enlarge my territory and keep me from pain and bless me indeed. And the Bible says, and the Lord had his request. So it doesn't matter what people have said about you. You can plot your own destiny with your mouth. Believing in your heart. So now listen. Verse Let's do verse 12 again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. So in this battle, you need the armor of God. Okay? Tell your neighbor, in this battle, you need the armor of God. Not the armor of you people. Those things, the thing that you were hating your enemies and always cursing them and swearing and all that, that's not God's armor. You need the armor of God. So when we take on the whole armor of God, it says, verse 13. No, the whole armor of God, against rulers, darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So that verse 12, the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Some of your prayers, it will be like, you remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel prayed and his prayers were answered the same day. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me all these 21 days. So sometimes some of your prayers are already answered, but the enemy and his spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, they are blocking your answers. He says, until Michael and Archangel came and helped me, now I've brought your answer. So as we are going to pray, I want you to engage also in spiritual warfare against all those wicked rulers, principalities that are blocking your breakthrough. And you take back what the enemy stole. And he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what must you do? Stand therefore. So some of you say, I've been standing, Pastor. This problem of mine has been long standing and things are not working out. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. In other words, there is no room for quitting. We don't quit. Having girded your waist with the truth. Now I want to show you those armor. That this is a well-armed soldier. So the waist is the truth. The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So in other words, I am not putting on my feet the preparation of gossip. Some of you are walking to neighbors. You're going to spread gossip. That's not our armor. Our armor is we put on the readiness. Our shoes are like, we're going. The Bible says, how good are the feet of those that spread the gospel. So we said we're going to have an outreach soon. Mr. Nkabinda, you will tell us. And we need to be prepared to say we are bringing good news. That's part of our armor. When people are bringing hopelessness, when people are talking about how bad things are, we are sharing the love of Jesus. We are bringing the good news of the kingdom. Verse 15. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So the enemy is attacking. But we take the shield of faith. Okay? Then he says, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, I want you to look at the next one. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the sword of the Spirit, is it a defensive weapon or is it an attacking weapon? The sword. So you take the word of God and you enforce. You go and claim the territories with the word of God. Amen? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And here's another one. Praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's why we're going to spend time praying. And as we are praying, we are exercising our dominion. We're going to claim back what the enemy has stolen. And he says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So he says, pray also for me. So I'm saying, as you are going to pray, may you also pray for me. Amen. May you also pray for me that utterance may be given, that every time when the word goes forth, may it go forth in power, may it inspire you. Amen. And may God confirm his word with signs following. So we are going to pray. Are you ready? I want to give you time to pray. We need to pray. Because we tell you how to do it, and we give you an opportunity to do it. And as you start praying here, even when you go to your homes, continue with that attitude of prayer. Amen? Continue with the attitude of prayer. You are a soldier. You need to take back all that the enemy has stolen. There are many territories that still need to be conquered. Conquer them. So as we are going to pray, worship team, you can start coming to the fore. You are our Levites, our Kohathites, and our Korahites. You're going to lead us in worship. As we're going to pray, we are going to pray. We are going to take authority. Because when the Bible says there's much land that still remains to be conquered, the Lord has empowered us to conquer. The Lord has empowered us to take authority in our own communities. Like we said, here's the river for Jesus. He has given us authority to take authority even in our workplaces. Your influence at your workplace. He has given us authority to take authority in our homes. That's your family. The peace of God must prevail in your family. In our church, we want the presence of God in this place. So these are some of the prayer items that you're going to pray for. Okay? And you can also take an opportunity to thank God for protecting us. You know, these are the times, the Easter holidays, we hear a lot of accidents, many people losing their lives. We need to go before the Lord and say, Father, thank you for preserving our lives. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for covering us under the blood of Jesus. Thank you for giving us victory. And I also want us to pray for the community around here. The harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Amen. Many people that are wandering around here without knowing the Lord, they need Jesus. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them to such an extent that we'll have to use the other tent also, open the space, and after that we've got to build also, because many souls still need to be won into the kingdom. Amen? And we need to surrender ourselves to be the vessels which God will use to win souls, to deliver his people, and to heal his people. Pray for church growth, so that more laborers can come, so that we go out and win more souls. Now I want to give you also an opportunity to pray for your loved one. You might know somebody who is so dear to you. You say, I don't know how this person will receive the gospel, but my eyes are upon you, Lord. I'm praying for my husband, I'm praying for my wife, I'm praying for my father. Lord, touch me. I want you to take opportunity to reclaim all the other territories that you might think of, which you feel the enemy has robbed you of, and you want to repossess them.